Morning, folks. Reverend Steve here. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the talk for this Sunday, the 26th of April. I hope that I find you well and that you get a great deal from this talk. Father, would you bless my words? Amen. The reading today is from Luke, and it begins Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." I wonder if you've had moments in life when you suddenly have a realization that all you'd planned for was over. Maybe these were times when you didn't really have a plan B, and this can make us feel quite despairing. I've had a couple of those kind of things where I've put everything into something and then it becomes obvious that it's not going anywhere. It can be very, very hard and very demoralizing. And I think we see this kind of thing in the reading. I chose this reading actually when I became the vicar here at St Cuthbert's for my now I'm not quite sure what it is, installation, collation, whatever it's called. When I became the vicar here on the great day of my beginning. And I chose it because it said to me so much about the Christian journey that speaks to me. I loved the fact that Jesus walks beside these dejected people, and when he's finished, they are dejected no longer. I love the gentleness of Jesus, how ordinary he is. And these things, you know, really did appeal to me. Interestingly, at my collation, our local MP, Barry Gardner, who's been a great support to me during my time here, made a little talk, and he said something about this reading. I remember him saying, "Steve, walk beside those who are lost, lonely, broken-hearted and poor." And I have to say, it's something that I have tried to do, that I've shaped my ministry, those prophetic words. It's a jewel, really, this, isn't it? Because it's a sudden moment that they have when they realise something important. We call that an epiphany. And it's interesting that I'm much more interested in epiphanies than anything else. It's one of the things that's always appealed to me. What's the one thought, the one moment that everything hinges on and pivots on? It's probably why I used to work in branding. That's what the job was. What's the one important thing? And this is really the one important thing. They're walking back, these two. There's a little glimmer of hope, but they can't quite bring themselves to believe it. There's a rumour about that the tomb was empty. There's a rumour. And maybe that's a lesson to me and to us today, is that we need to cling on to the little glimmers of hope, to see where they are whispering words into our life. As these two are going home, knowing it's over, a stranger sidles up. They're okay with him because there's two of them and one of him, so they're probably not worried he's going to rob them. And he asks them what's been happening. It's one of those kind of ways of asking a naive question, which allows him to get a kind of grown-up answer. Actually, it's the kind of thing Louis Theroux does, if you watch any of Louis Theroux's documentaries. What it does, though, is it gives them the dignity. Jesus spends the time to find out where they're at. He doesn't just go ploughing in. Da-da, I'm God. No, no, no. He goes with them and alongside them. He even goes to their house, which is quite something. They invite him and he stays. And when they break the bread and the wine, they suddenly know, this is him. And in a way, that helps us. I mean, I'm an evangelical, and I came from a tradition that didn't have a particularly high view of communion, you know, what was going on there. But this seems to say that in the bread and in the wine, we recognise and experience the living God. And I think that's absolutely true. Their hearts burn because he explains the scriptures to them. It seems they've been reading them all wrong over the years. And then they go back to tell everyone that Jesus is alive. What I love about it is the simplicity of the message. That's all they've got to say. They don't need to do a great long sermon. A simple thing. Jesus is alive. Interestingly, when you read the New Testament, most of the sermons, the early sermons, were exceptionally simple. They simply repeated the details of Christ's life. And I wonder whether we can learn something from that. I leave you with this. My faith is very much built on these epiphanies, these moments that I can understand and stitch together that shows me how the story works. I do have quite a simple faith, really. I'm not particularly interested in theological controversies. All of them seem to me mostly not to be that important. But here is the simple stuff that keeps me going. And I hope it keeps you going this morning. Firstly, there is a God. That in itself is an extraordinary thing for someone like me who was an atheist. There is a God. That changes everything. That God is for us. That God is one of us. And that God took on all the things that torment us and dealt with them head on. So we no longer need to be afraid of death, or whatever the world can throw at us. And of course, in the end, my dear friends, love wins. Amen.